Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Leader in Motion Radio. This is your very, very proud host, Christine LaPerriere, and I'm here with you again on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those just dialing in, what is Leader in Motion Radio? The purpose of the show is to facilitate inspiring conversations around the art of bringing your most loving and authentic self to work in today's challenging, challenging work environment. Again, I'm Christine LaPerriere. A little bit about me. I have an absolute love for business. I'm a coach. I'm a facilitator. I work with sales organizations. And outside of work, my passion is self-help and spirituality and behavior and how we think, what makes us tick. And for me, I love those conversations where we get a chance to bring those two concepts together and talk about how do we be our best selves at work. So with that, I'm really excited because today I've asked Jean Truthart to come on to my show and talk to us a little bit more about her perspective on leadership. Last week, we talked a lot about intentions in the workplace and what your intentions are, and how to think about maybe a more loving and connected intention to help solve relative work issues. What's interesting is from this conversation, Jean Truthart and I were talking about how this ties into servant leadership. Her background, she's actually been a very successful career in business and then transitioned into the higher education administration world where she's practiced servant leadership for more than 20 years now. If you see her picture, you'd never guess that, but she definitely has been practicing this for quite a long time. Her area of expertise include building high-performing teams, implementing exceptional customer service models, and creating very strong personal empowerment pathways for her team members. So with that, I think I'm really excited to have a conversation with Jean tonight about what servant leadership is and some of her experiences that she's had in her career, trying to implement something that is, let's say, so out of the box in today's corporate world. With that, Jean, I just want to make sure, are you there?
I am here. Thank you.
Great.
I'm very excited to be on your show, Christine. Can I say congratulations?
Oh, yeah.
It's so exciting.
Definitely. Thank you for coming on. And for those who are listening, it's really neat because Jean and I met about a year and a half ago at a Movers and Shakers conference in Toronto. So that's the kind of company I keep these days, just movers and shakers. So I'm glad that we connected, and it was really neat that you also have the same passion for this type of leadership that I do.
Yeah, we had some great conversations that weekend. And I think what you're doing is very timely because not a lot of attention is being paid to it, but I think the whole idea of bringing your whole self, that mind, body, spirit, to the workplace is phenomenal, and it's a really compelling conversation. So I'm so glad you invited me to join you this evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, just so that everybody gets a little bit better understanding, can you share with us a little bit more of your background? I know it, but I know you'll say it a little more effectively.
Oh, sure. Well, you're right that originally I went into business right out of college, and I spent about 10 years in retailing. And part of that included a period of time where I was an executive for a division of Macy's. And I have to say that that was outstanding training for me because at that time they had a strong orientation towards exceptional customer service, and we were really taught how to set and achieve financial goals, how to build teams, and how to motivate people. And I think, you know, some people might say that that retail environment has changed now, perhaps, but, you know, in the 1980s, that was a great place to be. So that's really the business background. And then I moved from Philadelphia back to my hometown about the mid-80s, and my hometown is in central Pennsylvania. And that's when I made the transition to higher education. I went to work in the admissions department of a career college, which was kind of connected to sales, really. You know, I was selling education. And then from there, I went on to join a visual arts college. And once I was at that college, I moved into the academic side of the house and became a director of education. Stayed there for 15 years, earned my master's degree in cultural communications. Back in 2003, I was fortunate enough to be part of starting a community college, brand new college, in my hometown. And I was employee number one, hired to start this campus. The college had four other campuses, and I was able to put together my own team. In a way, I got to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't have to spend the money to do that. And our campus has grown from 225 students that first semester to over 3,000 students.
Wow.
So it's really, really been surprising. And I think I'm one of those lucky people who gets to work at a job that supports my higher purpose, which I would describe as helping other people reach their potential.
So can you tell us more about the leadership style that you must have used to help build this college program?
Sure. I think that one of the things that really early on for me is I went with what felt natural to me. Yes, I went to college for business, and I think that, you know, college programs are great, obviously. I work at a college. But for me, it was more my natural orientation, what felt right for me. And over time, then I began to put this strong skill set behind that. And so that combination of what I would say would be intuition or following your gut, you know, together with the fundamentals of how to operate in the business world, that really became my leadership style. And I mentioned it's about helping people reach their potential. And I remember one time when I was working at Macy's, my boss asked me why so many people were being promoted out of my department. And the way she said it, it was almost as though she was questioning, you know, was I trying to get rid of people or, you know, couldn't they work with me? But what I was really trying to do was to help them move to their next level. And so and I was 25. I mean, I was very young at this point in time. And so I told her that my enjoyment out of that job was to see other people grow and excel. And so from the very beginning, that was really my approach, which is trying to get other people to flourish.
I think that's a great approach. And I have to say that in my days when I was managing a team in management consulting, I was also known for very good training and development of my people. But what's interesting is that as they got promoted out of my group and taken on by other departments, I used to take that very personally. I get very upset because I spent all that time developing them and they were leaving my group. So I wish I had had the same intention at that time that you seem to have.
Well, I felt like I was giving them that opportunity to go out and shine, and that was very exciting, and it actually still is. I think the other thing for me, which you know talks a little bit about servant leadership, which is the approach that I use, is that ability to see things from other people's perspective. And you know that's true if they're employees, if they're people who report to me, or if they're customers, which in my case now our students are really our customers. And that ability to see things from someone else's perspective has always helped me very quickly see flaws in policies and procedures. And so then my orientation is, what is it that we need to do to make sure we're doing the right thing for that end user? What is their experience going to be? And I'm sure we've all had that experience of coming up with a great policy, right? Mm-hmm. And then when frontline people try to implement it, there are a lot of problems with that. There are things that people never considered. And so, you know, servant leadership will take that pyramid where you have the president, you have the CEO traditionally at the top of that pyramid, and it flips that. And I'm sure people are aware of this concept now. Servant leadership isn't new anymore, but it flips that. So now it's the job of the leader to provide what other people need to be successful in their jobs. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And on that note, can you give me some examples of how do you actually cultivate that? So I think one thing is, it's for me, it's always about what does it really look like? I always feel like when I think of servant leadership and maybe just reading up on it and things like that, I always feel like it's very theoretical. And I guess I'm thinking, you know, can you share with us an example of where, you know, maybe you almost went one direction and you had to use that servant leadership approach to take things in a different direction?
Well, I think there are a couple of ways to answer that, but first, I want to maybe backtrack a little bit to something you've talked about on your last two shows, kind of continue this thread of conversation. It'll sort of set this up. And that's that idea of telling your truth. You mentioned mm-hmm. that last week. Do you remember that? Want to briefly just describe that so people know, in case they weren't listening, what you mean by that?
Well, I think it was Michelle Arbeau, actually, who was on the show when I was interviewing her, and she was talking about the big learning that she had was around speaking her truth, and she really explained that that was one of the things that was very difficult for her, and as she kind of made that leap forward, her career kind of unfolded in a much more effective path. So speaking her truth was critical to mm-hmm. bringing most authentic self into the workplace.
Right. And I think, you know, what connected with me when you were both talking about that, and then I think last week you mentioned you had a colleague that also found that to be really impactful because he felt he wasn't really telling his truth in the workplace. But, you know, I think that is something that is very challenging for people, because if you had said telling the truth, you know, I get that. One of the power processes that I use, and I think it relates to servant leadership also, but that's that power process that you are your word. And
yeah.
And that is sometimes hard to live up to, but I choose my language very carefully so that, for example, if I were to say to someone that I'll get back to you tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
that has meaning for me. I will get back to them tomorrow. I'm not saying it to get them off the phone. I'm not telling them what they want to hear, but I choose my words very carefully. They count for something. So you are your word is very powerful. But when you're talking about telling your truth, that's different to me because it says that you're being your authentic self in all situations. So I think I would agree with Michelle that that's kind of hard to do. How do you integrate that into your professional life? Because for me, I will play different roles almost depending on who I'm supposed to be, you know, at any given time. And one example, I'll give you two examples, and these are very superficial. You know, the authentic me wants to be wearing sweats, and she has very colorful language. That's who I am. But the professional me wears suits, and I do not swear or use profanity in the workplace. So there's that duality, and I think, and I'm giving you superficial reasons so we don't have to get into heavier things, but I think that I will adjust my truth, like who I really am, based on those roles I'm playing. So I think I am going to explore that a little bit because I'm kind of envious of people who really feel like they can be themselves all of the time. So,
right.
So let's servant leadership. Let's get back to that. I have an example of servant leadership that really talks about, and this sort of goes full circle back to the telling your truth idea too, because in serving other people and helping them reach their potential. I'm going to talk about performance appraisals, which no one likes that, right? I mean, that's like, you know.
All love performance appraisals. Is it that time of year already?
It's coming up where I am. We will begin that in March. But I have made a commitment that nobody is going to come in for their annual performance appraisal and have any surprises. I think that a lot of people wait that year to sort of level any critiques that they might have towards someone. And so one of the commitments that I have made to people as I'm helping them do their job better day in and day out is that if there's any deficiency that, and I even hate to use that word, but if there's any deficiency, it's going to be discussed before we sit down and have their performance appraisal. So as a servant leader, what I want to do for them when they come in for their performance appraisal is I want to celebrate how great they are.
Mm-hmm.
Unusual concept, right? And that's very different. Most people walk in the door for their performance appraisal just like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to hear now? I don't know if you're familiar with Michael Beckwith. Do you know Reverend Michael Beckwith?
No, not off the top of my head.
He has been a guest on Oprah when she's talked about some spiritual issues, and I think he was also on the DVD The Secret, but he's a spiritual director at the Agape International Center in Los Angeles. Okay. And my daughter lives out in L.A., so sometimes when I go out to visit her, we end up going to the Agape Center, and the services are really amazing. They're online. If people have not checked that out, I would suggest you do that. So when you go there for the first time, they have new people stand up, and you're in a room of about 1,000 people, if you can picture that. I think you've talked to groups maybe that large, but you can picture 1,000 people in a room.
It's terrifying, yes.
So they have... So out of 1,000 people, maybe they have 40 people who are there for the first time, and they stand up, and everyone around them will turn and face, like you pick one person that's new. You turn and you face them, and you tell them that they're wonderful, that they're amazing, that they're perfect, that they're incredible. It's so overwhelming. The energy coming at people is so overwhelming that, you know, some people will smile, some will laugh, some get teary. But it's just all of that energy coming at you is just so incredible. And so I highly recommend if anybody's out in the California area that you check them out. But that's what I want a performance appraisal to be. I want them to know that I value so much who they are, and I want to acknowledge what their talents and their special gifts are and what makes them unique. And to me, if you look at a servant leader from history that would be like a Gandhi or Martin Luther King, who's obviously practiced that at a very high level, what is it you want people to take away when they're in your presence? And so that I'm going to cut right to the core of servant leadership. How can you make people feel that way and tap into that as often as possible? But the performance appraisal is one of those times when it absolutely can be there. You can really celebrate people.
Jean, I love this concept, but I have to say that I have to ask you some questions about how this works, because I've done performance appraisals, and the best part is I've really done performance appraisals, and I know what you're talking about, and I think to myself, you know, and maybe other people are listening to this and skeptical too. What do you do when you have an employee, though, that really is struggling in two or three critical areas, and you really do, you know, need them to perform effectively in those areas in order for the team to be more successful?
Well, first of all, I would start with the good stuff. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I have been acknowledged for in the past is, and it's sort of in the good to great language, is getting the right people on the bus and in the right seats, okay?
For sure.
So that's first thing, is if you have somebody who's not up to the job or they're playing out of position, what can you do to help them move in that direction? And I will be honest. Sometimes it means you're helping them move to another organization that will think that they're wonderful and perfect and that they're valued, right? I mean, that's true. So if, let's say you have a worst-case scenario with someone like that, then what I'm saying is that throughout that year, you have had enough conversations about their performance that you've helped them set goals, try to achieve to whatever level they need to be working toward. You've given them those tools. You're that servant leader. What is it that they need to realize their potential? Okay? Is it training? Is it more education? Do they need to work with a coach?
Right.
I've had professional organizers come in and work with people on my staff. Like, I will give them the tools to be successful so that if we're getting together to really talk about an annual performance, there are no surprises. They know they're going to hear those things. But as a servant leader, I want them to also know what is it that they're doing really well.
Oh, and I think that is excellent. And I do think that traditional performance appraisals have a tendency to focus on where the challenges lie. And you know, we kind of start with a real quick introduction. Hey, you did great. You got a, you know, 4 out of 5 stars. But we really want to sit down and talk to you about, you know, these couple areas, you know, why you didn't hit your numbers this year, or why you're still struggling with, you know, building good rapport on the team, right? So I've seen those types of performance reviews. And ironically enough, I remember actually doing a performance review one time and feeling so cut down that after I walked out of the performance review, I walked into the ladies' room and just, you know, fell to tears. So I've also that experience of performance appraisals, and I know how they can really hurt your spirit if your intention when you're at work every day is to do an excellent job.
Right, and I not that long ago I had a conversation with someone who was moved into a higher level position. And they really were not ready for that. And we see that happen all the time, right? You have somebody who's great at their job, so ta-da, now we've made you a boss. and they were really good at the job they had. And really, by the time we were done talking about this over a couple of months, the person came back and said, you know, I want to go back to doing what I did really well. This really isn't the place for me. Is there an opportunity? How could we make that happen? And I think that when you have honest, candid, but supportive conversations with people, you open up the possibility that they're going to actually see it too. And in that case, we were able to move in that direction so that the person didn't leave the organization. So it really was one of those win-win situations. But I think, you know, it's all about your orientation. You talked about it last week. It's all about your intention. What is your intention when you walk in the room? How do you want that person to feel when you walk out the door?
Well, and it's
interesting.
I don't want
them to be crying in the bathroom.
Right, exactly. And I think you're exactly right. So when I think of speaking your truth and I think of the power of intention, I really think they're left hand, right hand of what I would call really effective, authentic leadership. Because when you look at the situation that I was speaking about, I'm sure that my boss was speaking his truth in the moment that he made me feel so terrible. But I do think that the intention at that point was very focused around one area that he was frustrated with, and his intention was not how to serve me.
Right.
Growing in that moment. He was frustrated because there was one particular area that he wanted to see me do better. So all the other areas that I had received excellent ratings were not the focus of the conversation. The focus of the conversation was the one area where I continually struggled. And so it's interesting when you talk about this, because I'm sure he was speaking his truth. But again, when you look at power of intention, his intention was to get me to stop doing that one annoying thing so that he could finally get that headache off his plate. And I think that if his intention was truly that servant leadership style, the conversation might have been very different.
Yeah, and I think when we're talking about servant leadership, I'll give you another example, and this actually is a business example. So, and maybe you know this company, but this is a company that practices servant leadership, and in fact, the motto or the mission of the company is actually the golden rule. And
okay.
When you go to where they operate, I'm going to see if you can guess. So now you have to guess, Christine. When you go to where they operate, they actually have the golden rule in big letters where they are. Have you ever seen that anywhere?
No, but you know, it's great that you're mentioning this, because the golden rule is on my radar screen for very good material for this show. I'm trying to think of where I would have seen the golden rule.
This company is, they've really become an icon of a top role model for an American organization. And day in and day out, they have so empowered their people to go beyond, to really serve their customers. And then at the same time, the president, CEO, top folks of this organization who have flipped that pyramid, their job is to empower people so that they can make these grand gestures and really be over the top in terms of customer service. So I'm not going to make you keep guessing. Do you have any idea?
Well, you know, I just think of a handful of ones that I read. You know, Southwest Airlines, I read great things about. I've read
ding,
great
ding,
things.
Ding, ding, that's it.
I was going to say Southwest Airlines. I couldn't remember the detail exactly, but I know I've read amazing things about the leadership styles of that organization.
Very good. And, you know, they really have this conviction that it's not a business. It's a business, but it's not an entity. It's about the people. And so their fundamental belief is that the best way that they can succeed is if they treat their employees with respect, but then they also give them the latitude and encouragement so that they can do their jobs. And then, again and again, employees will say that they ended up doing their jobs better than they even thought it was possible.
Right.
So it's this phenomenal structure. And I'll give you one example that I thought was really interesting. On a flight on Father's Day, the flight attendants, who are always kind of funny and very relaxed, and when they're on the plane, they asked if people remembered that it was Father's Day. And then they asked if anybody was going to be seeing their father that day, and hands went up. And then they asked them if anyone had forgotten to buy a greeting card for their father, and hands went up. And then they walked around and handed out greeting cards to about half a dozen people so that when they got off the plane, they could give their father a Father's Day card.
You know, that is fantastic. I was just talking about my airline woes with a client today, and I think that story is fantastic. And just the idea of empowering people to get creative to actually serve the customer more, that servant leadership really ultimately affecting the end customer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's one of the reasons what started me in becoming a Southwest customer was the baggage fees.
Right.
But what keeps me there now is I really see day in and day out that their leadership style, their approach to doing business matches mine. And so when you find that, because I think it's rare, when you find that, then you're really hooked on that. So that's my example of a company doing servant leadership great.
Well, I think that's great, Jean. And we're coming up to the end of the half hour. I can't believe how quick that conversation just went. So, but what I really appreciate those stories, and I think that we've given people a lot to think about. At the end of each one of these discussions, I like to hand some takeaways to people who are out there listening and thinking, how can I actually use any of these ideas in my own working world? So I think today I'm going to challenge people to think about where they have the opportunity to serve more in their relative work world. So servant leadership almost implies that you are a manager or a leader. But if you think about any role that you're in, you serve people usually. You usually serve customers. You usually serve your team members. You usually serve the company as a whole. So I would say in any position, think about how much it might shift your next day at work if you were to come with a much more servant-oriented attitude. We'll leave it at that. Jean, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think you summed it up really well. And I'm so glad you're having these conversations, Christine. I'm going to tune in every week and looking forward to see how you grow the experience. You're doing a great job, and it's been a lot of fun talking to you this evening.
Thank you so much. Again, I'm so glad that you came on. And with that, I will have everybody have a fantastic night. We'll peace out. And until next week at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, have a great week and be a leader in motion. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.